Let's just take the rest of the third tonight. 17th verse. It says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save, that the world may be saved through him. He who believes on him is not condemned. He who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest he be reproved, or his works be reproved. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifest, that they are worked out in God. Let's deal with that first before we move on to other subjects. I think this makes a very clear presentation to us of what it means to be involved with Christ in salvation. And if you go much beyond this, you muddy the stream. There's no cutoff point. If you get, in terms of conditions for salvation, after all, there's only one effective instrument for our development as Christians, and that is the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit in your life, there's no way in all this world you're ever going to satisfy God, or yourself even. On the other hand, if you do have the Holy Spirit, he is going to be working out the process in your life to bring you to fulfillment. I must repeat, and that is the analogy of yeast in the bread. Surely as you put that yeast in the bread, it's going to affect the bread. All things being equal, there's no way you could put yeast in bread without affecting it. By the same token, if you don't put the yeast in the bread, it's going to be as flat as a pancake, no matter what you do to it. Jesus used that same analogy in his own teaching. To bring the Spirit of Christ into your life is to put yeast in the bread. And he says, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit is introduced into your life, just as the yeast is introduced to the bread, the process is going to go on in you. Now, there may be many things in your life that you have to wrestle with, and there may be times of highs and lows in your Christian experience, and a lot of things you have to learn, and many different complications and so forth to daily Christian living. But basically, if we try to put any other kind of regulation in here, we take away from that primary point that the Holy Spirit is effective in working in our lives. We can't take anything away from him. He's got to work in spite of us. Because if we have anything there that we can point to and say, well, at least you have to give me credit for this, you have to give me credit for that, then we're taking something away from the Lord. In fact, Paul makes that very clear in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says that Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. He's made all of these things in order that no one may boast in himself. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 16, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, not after the flesh, that is as far as the flesh is concerned, not many mighty, not many well-born, but the fools of the world God has chosen, that he may bring, make ashamed to the wise, and the weak of the world he has chosen, in order that he may shame the mighty, the strong, that is embarrassing, that is, they run out of fuel here, that he may bring to shame the strong. And the unborn, we'd call it ignoble, the poorly born people of the world, and the nothings of the world, God has chosen, that he may bring to nothing the things that are. He's chosen the things that are nothing and the things that are not, that he may bring to naught the things that are, so that no flesh may boast before God. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who has been made to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, in order that, even as it is written, he who boasts or glories, let him glory in the Lord. It makes it very clear that the more we try to introduce religious ideas or disciplines or regulations into the situation, the more we take away from the action of the Holy Spirit. Now that's why I keep constantly pressing you to just live your life at peace and don't get religious about it and don't get sanctimonious and pious. Just live it out and let the Spirit come through you. If there are weak places in your life, He'll bring it out. But you see, he has to do it at his own pace. We're always impatient about it. I speak with many, many people who need want their lives to shape up a little bit. And the problem that I have is that they always want it to happen overnight. I mean, people would love to be able to just go down to an altar somewhere and commit themselves to Christ and go home totally reoriented, you know, and it just doesn't work that way. They may get a new attitude toward things. That could happen in one shot, a new approach to life and so forth. But then they've got to settle down for the long haul, which means that over a period of years, the Lord has to reorient their lives. And so people have said to me, after 5 years or 10 years, you know, that things have become different. But it's a solid effect. It's not something that's going to hit them like a Benny, you know. We don't want to be. I'm not dispensing spiritual Bennies to people to give them a shot so they can catapult out and be great souls for Jesus. I'm trying to give them some substantial thing, and I will say this without fear of any contradiction from the Lord Himself. I mean this. There's no contradiction. When you get before the Lord and you say, "Now you remember that fellow down there in Ojai, who's been harassing us all our lives," he told me this: your spiritual growth will be directly related to your identification daily with Jesus Christ. That means as you cultivate your fellowship with Him, the other things will take care of themselves. I mean, whether you're talking about witnessing or application to the Word, or whatever you're talking about, the habits you have that you need to get help with, your growth is going to be related to your identification with Christ. That does not mean that you go out every day and sing hymns all day long. You don't go out and all day long be thinking of Jesus. But you go out all day long doing your work in the name of Jesus, sensitive that you belong to Him, but it's a very good analogy to say sensitive in the same way that a man is sensitive that he's married. You cannot possibly think every minute of your wife, you're not going to get your work done. But that doesn't mean you don't love her, but you might come to a point in the day when you stop and call her on the phone. Now, the same thing is true in our relationship to Christ. We're His bride. And the relationship is similar in the sense that we're more or less eternally now connected with Jesus Christ. And there's very little that we do in our lives that does not in one way or another involve that. Even if you're working on a job to not either A, just to earn money, or B, to witness to the people around you. You're doing your work in some respect because that's the kind of work the Lord is brought you into for your growth and for many, many reasons. But whatever you have in life is given to Him for His use. In fact, it's given really to the body It's very important to understand that all the talents that you have, or whatever gifts you have, are for the body of believers. We have saturated ourselves in the church with all kinds of ideas about how to be religious, how to be super spiritual, how to be holy, how to be sanctified, how to be this and how to be that. It's all theoretical. It's all theological. But what about just the simplicity of saying, I belong to Christ, and I live my life in that sensitivity, and then letting His Holy Spirit change our hearts? And then putting it to practice in terms simply of realizing that our life is given to the body of believers. And wherever we can help one another, we do it.
Now, I would say that that's probably part of the difficulty that the church has today in this constant battle for spiritual stability. The concept that all that God wants is some spiritual sensitivity, you know, to be religious. That the other matters, that the material world is something else. But the point is that God wants our lives to be joined together in a body that is His body, and He is the head. I will say this, the Lord will not identify with you apart from the body. So here are people who want to relate to Christ, but they have trouble identifying with the body. Now they think they're going to be very spiritual by getting off by themselves and having great spiritual experiences alone with Jesus, but they are unrelated to the body. I'm talking about the interaction of believers with one another, the fellowship, the caring, the helping of one another. Not helping to go down and raise money by an oyster supper or to buy a new hymn book. I'm talking about the kind of caring that is concerned about the needs of the body around us. I mean, there are a lot of women that feel idle, feel they don't have fulfillment, and they could... It wouldn't hurt them to pick up the telephone and call somebody and say, how are you today? You know, drop a card in the mail. Here's somebody that just needs a little encouragement. Wouldn't hurt to drop a little note. You don't even have to buy a card. Just drop a little note right on the back of a postcard. I'm thinking about you and praying for you. Signed Millie or whatever the name is, and drop it in the mail. There are people that are sick around you. There are people in the body that are in need. Women around you that need help, mothers that are, as I say, here's a mother that's got the flu. She's sick, and here are her kids. She's got to do something with them. Well, it wouldn't hurt us to offer a helping hand to that. Helping each other. I don't mean giving ourselves to God by building bigger buildings and better facilities for the hall. I mean, we get so taken up with that, all our time may be given to promotions for the building of the organization, and we let the individual fall apart. A lot of Christians falling apart right under our nose while we're busy building bigger churches, having bigger promotions, running contests, all that sort of thing. All of this is in a direction. It may sound very disjointed here tonight, but it's in this direction. I will say it again without fear of contradiction from God Himself. In fact, with only His approval. I will say this. Your spiritual growth will be in relationship to your cultivation of fellowship with Christ. But that fellowship with Christ, in order to bring about this growth, must be in relationship to the bodies of believers. And that instead of shooting for spiritual experiences, of which the Bible says nothing, nothing at all, instead of shooting for those things, maybe we should think in terms of focusing on how we can help our brother and our sister in the Lord. I would go out and say, now, Lord, show me how I can help my brother, my sister-in-law. We have plenty to do with that, instead of running around to all kinds of spiritual uplift things. And we need to feed on the Word. There's time to feed on the Word, of course. There's time to be in fellowship with the believers. But you're never going to get, you're never, N-E-V-E-R, and I say it before God, you're never going to get solid spiritual growth out of shot in the arm spiritual life conference things. It's not that. It's just daily living with the body of believers. But I think this is a serious matter. I mean, the church today, it has just gone rampant after grand spiritual experiences on a mass scale and ignored the simple interaction with Jesus Christ and with the body. We leave the Lord behind while we run after spiritual experiences and religious things. And it's selfish, purely selfish. Why do people want grand spiritual experiences? So they can feel happy. They want to go to a meeting and come away feeling happy. What for? I don't know. So they can feel happy. They want power. What for? So they can feel happy. The Lord gives power to serve His purposes, to serve His body. Not just so you can be a grander Christian. So you be simple. Believe me. Believe me, it's from the Lord. The Lord wants you to know this. Be simple. Stay with Christ and give yourself to the body. Don't keep worrying about what am I getting out of things? What am I going to get? If you quit worrying about yourself and whether you're spiritual or not spiritual, who knows? I don't even know whether I'm spiritual or not. Never try to analyze it. No, don't worry about that. You'll be at peace, at least. And you won't worry about whether you're a grand Christian. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word tonight. We receive it from your own hand, and we pray that the Spirit may apply it to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.